Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, I hope you're ready to dive into Old Testament Tuesday. It's my favorite day of the week because we get to go into the Old Testament. We have been working chapter by chapter through the book of Ezekiel, and sometimes we just read it and let God's word just wash over our hearts. Sometimes I give a little commentary. But if you are enjoying this devotion and this walkthrough on Old Testament Tuesday, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And as my son says, smash that like button. All right. So we are going to dive into God's word today. It's going to be an exciting time. And before we do, if you are a financial partner with FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so much for your generosity. Remember, if we want to see our public square change, and what's the public square? Anything outside of the church circle change, whether it be our workplaces, whether it be our government, whether it be our education system, whatever it might be. If we want to see that change, we have to have a changed heart. Policy and public square ideas flow out of our heart. And so I want to encourage you, dive into God's word each and every day, and it will make an incredible difference. So we are in Ezekiel chapter 46, and I want to set, you're going to see a term called the people of the land. And I want to set a little bit of the context of what we're talking about here in the book of Ezekiel. So we understand that there's a tribulation. We understand that a whole group of a large portion of the earth will not survive the tribulation. But there will be a group of people who do not take the mark of the beast nor bow their knee to the beast and worship the beast. And they will come through the tribulation and be the people of the land in the millennial reign. So let me read a couple scriptures too. Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. It says, "And it will come about in all the land, declares the Lord, that two parts in it will be cut off and perish, but the third will be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God." All right, so Zechariah chapter 13, Old Testament, verses 8 and 9, we see that two-thirds are cut off and one-third. Now, I want to remind you, we've already studied in Ezekiel that God takes no delight in the death of the wicked, right? So he doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And here's the main thing. If you do not know Jesus Christ, Yeshua, as your Messiah, I want you to hear this clearly. You are a sinner. I am a sinner. We all deserve God's wrath, and yet Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He rose again that we may have eternal life, and that if we place our hope in him by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. So confess Jesus as Lord. Repent. Turn from your sin and turn to the living God. So after the during the tribulation, two-thirds will be cut off, one-third will make it through, and that is why Paul says all of Israel will be saved. Now, when he says that, he's talking about the remnant of Israel. That's the context of Romans chapter 11. So in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace." Okay, so we should begin to see in these last days grace being poured out on the people of Israel by God and the Jewish people. He says, "And the supplication, so that they will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and they will weep bitterly over him like the bitter weeping of a firstborn." So at some point, we're going to see Jesus coming back on a white horse. The church will be behind him because the catching up the harpazo will have happened. We will have been refined by Jesus. We will be the bride of Christ coming back with Jesus. And those who are left on earth will gaze upon him, the one in whom they have pierced. All right. He's going to come back to the Mount of Olives. He's going to touch down there, finish up the Armageddon War and that kind of thing. So the reason why I bring this up is because you're going to see people of the land. These are both mostly Jews, but Jew and Gentiles that make it through the tribulation, that do not take the mark of the beast and are there and do not bow their knee to the beast, but they are there at the end when they see Jesus. So let's read about what they are going to experience. Now, as a church, we're going to experience this from a different angle. They're going to experience it quite literally in the land of Israel. Ezekiel 46, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, the gate of the inner court facing east shall be shut the 6 working days, but it shall be opened on the Sabbath day and opened on the day of the new moon. The prince shall enter by way of the porch of the gate from outside and stand by the post of the gate. Then the priest shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offerings, and he shall worship at the threshold of the gate, and then go out, but the gate shall not be shut until the evening. The people of the land shall also worship at the doorway of that gate before the Lord on the Sabbaths and on the new moons. So, very important note. The prince here is not the Prince of Peace. It's not Jesus. This will be... some believe this will be David. Some believe that this will be the prince of over Israel. We don't know exactly, but we know that this prince will be going in and out. And we know that it will be at least on the throne of David, the king. All right. So the burnt offerings, the priests, the Levites will be doing their duties before the Lord during this millennial reign. And the burnt offerings which the prince shall offer the Lord on the Sabbath day shall be 6 lambs without blemish and a ram without blemish. And the grain offering shall be an ephah, and the ram and the grain offering of the lambs as much as he is able to give, and a hin of oil with an ephah. On the day of the new moon, he shall offer a young bull without blemish, and also 6 lambs, a ram which shall be without blemish, and he shall provide a grain offering. Now, some may be saying, wait a minute. Okay, so if we have around 30 AD, 31, 32, 33, right in that area, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was the atonement, sacrifice, redemption, payment, propitiation for our sins. We have the church age. Right, come when the church was launched in the book of Acts and all the way up to today. Why do we need this sacrificial system? Why would we? I mean, Jesus already paid the price for them. Why would we need for these rams and lambs? I mean, maybe this is just figurative. No. Remember that these will be mortal people who make it through the tribulation, who will need a covering for sin, and just like in the Old Testament, they had a covering. They will be looking back at the payment of sin of Jesus, whom they had pierced. We just read that. And in Zechariah, they will be remembering, and they will see that this is Jesus Christ who's done it. It will be like communion for day. Do this in remembrance of me. We look back at our Jewish Messiah, remember that his body and blood was shed for us. And so, this is what's happening right here during the millennial reign. It says, when the prince enters, he shall go in by the porch of the gate and go out by the same way. But when the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed feast, he will enter by the way of the north gate to the worship, go out by the way of the south gate, and he who enters by the way of the south gate shall go out by the way of the north gate. No one shall return by the way of the gate by which he entered, but shall go straight out. When they go in, the prince shall go in among them, and when they go out, he will go out. At the festivals and at the appointed feasts, the grain offerings shall be an ephah with a bull and an ephah with a ram. Excuse me. With the lambs, as much as one is able to give, and a hin of oil with an ephah. When the prince provides a freewill offering, a burnt offering, a peace offering, as a freewill offering to the Lord, the gate facing east shall be opened for him, and he shall provide his burnt offering and his peace offering as he does on the Sabbath day. Then he shall go out, and the gate shall be shut after he goes out, and you shall provide a lamb a year old without blemish for a burnt offering, the lamb daily, morning by morning, you shall provide it. Also, you shall provide a grain offering with its morning by morning, a sixth of an ephah and a third of a hin of oil to moisten the fine flour, a grain offering to the Lord continually be a perpetual ordinance. Thus, they shall provide the lamb, the grain offerings, and the oil morning by morning for a continual burnt offering. Thus, the Lord God, it If the prince gives a gift out of his inheritance to any of his sons, it shall belong to his sons. It is their possession by inheritance. But if he gives a gift from his inheritance to the one of his servants, it shall be his until the year of liberty. Then it shall return to the prince. His inheritance shall only be, his inheritance shall be only his sons, and it shall be belong to them. So we see this offering happening over and over. The people are coming into the land. We see that they are celebrating the feast. They're celebrating those things of God. The temple worship is taking place. The order is set and supports the fulfillment of God's covenant purposes. Every worship element is placed out here in verses 1 through 12 that we just read under God's authority. It's going to be an awesome thing. And I some of this we don't have a clear picture of, but the church will be there seeing some of this to a certain degree. And the prince is important because he is still the worshiper, not the leader, but the Lord is above all that. So we see that this is taking place right before our eyes. There'll be a daily devotion that shapes the kingdom people of that day, the mortal people of that day. And they will continually come before the Lord, seeing the one that they've pierced face to face. And then verses 16 through 18, righteous leadership protects the inheritance. And we understand that as we go through this, that he's constantly painting a picture of what the millennial reign will look like. Now let's go to verse 19. Then he brought me through the entrance, which was at the side of the gate, into the holy chambers for the priests, which faced north. And behold, there was a place at the extreme rear towards the west. He said to me, this is the place where the priests shall boil the guilt offering and the sin offering, and where they shall bake the grain offering, in order that they may not bring them out into the outer court to transmit holiness to the people. Then he brought me out into the outer court and led me across to the four corners of the court. And behold, in every corner of the court, there was a small court. In the four corners of the court, there were enclosed courts, 40 cubits long and 30 wide. These four in the corners were the same size. There was a row of masonry round around about it, and around the fourth of them, and boiling places were made under the rows under about. Then he said to me, these are the boiling places where the ministers of the house shall boil, and sacrifices of the people. So a lot of this, you know, we're looking at the old sacrificial system. And I would just tell you that for Ezekiel and Ezekiel's people, they were in exile and their temple had been destroyed. And this was bringing much hope to them that at one day this would be restored and that they would see these sacrifices taking place, all this beginning to happen. And yet, that God hadn't given up on them. So there's a lot here. I mean, we could spend hours going through many of these things. And to understand the prophetic time clock, you might say, or timetable. But I'll give you this as a walkaway. As we look at our state in Washington, and we think about where we're headed, I want to ensure that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's the main thing. And so if you have not called upon Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Turn to him, the living God, and ask him for forgiveness. It is critical that you have your hope in Christ because you want to be the bride of Christ. You do not want to go through the tribulation. I don't care if you're Jew, Greek, Gentile, barbarian, whatever you might be, turn to the living God and allow him to set you free. How do you do that? Confess Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. Through repentance, acknowledge that you're a sinner and that Jesus is your Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And Lord, although we don't understand all of these sacrifices and we don't understand all of these peace offerings, we do understand the gospel message. And that is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, who died and rose again for our sins, that we may have hope. God, we know that he didn't come to start a new religion. God, he came to fulfill our Jewish ancestry of the Old Testament. And God, we thank you that he is the fulfillment of prophecy from Genesis to Revelation, God. God, we thank you that you go before him, that you have surrounded him, and that you gave him to be take up residency in our hearts, in our lives, and let it affect our actions, God. God, we lift up Governor Bob Ferguson, President Trump, Maria Cantwell, Patty Murray, Michael Baumgartner. God, just so many of these people who are in leadership right now over us. God, you say pray for all those in authority over us. Suzanne Schmidt, Leonard Christian. God, we just lift them up to you. Rob Chase, we say they are yours, God. If they need salvation, God, I pray that you would give them salvation and call them to your throne room. God, let them be humble and turn to you and not be caught up in the power that they may have, this earthly power that's temporary, but let them know about your eternal power, God. Let repentance come to them so that the people can rejoice because righteousness is ruling. If they are saved, I pray that you'll give them divine wisdom, insight, direction, God, that you would go before them in all things, surrounding them today, God. We thank you for what you want to do. We look forward to the coming of your son, Jesus, to get your bride. We also look forward to when we come back with Jesus, riding on white horses behind him. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.